Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and today we are with a mompreneur, Samar Nabulsi, Managing Director and Partner of Big on Children. Samar, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much, Shane. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm pronouncing your name correct,
yes,
right?
You are.
Okay, excellent. It's a good start. But tell us, what is a mompreneur?
Well, it's a term that the business world has pretty much picked up on the past few years, where it's an entrepreneur who's also a mother. So they kind of put two words together, and now it's called mompreneurs.
A mompreneur. So, and they're sprouting up. And
yes.
And what's the difference between a mompreneur and a dadpreneur? Is this a sexist term?
Or
is
it No, it's just that when you live in the Middle East, mainly, it's not every day you see a working mom. And usually those who work have, like desk jobs, or they have part-time jobs in big companies. But to be a mompreneur is somebody who's starting from scratch, an entire new idea. It's their business, and they're trying to be fair to their kids and the business at the same time.
But also in the Middle East, you have things like drivers and cooks and nannies. So as a mompreneur, I think you do have a support network around you as well.
Yes,
that
and
maybe
family
don't
members
see.
That obviously...
Extended family extend, as well.
Of course.
So do you think it's easier in some sense to be a mompreneur in the Middle East then?
I think so. I think it is easier only because, especially here in Dubai, you get a lot of support, whether it's from different moms who work in the business, whether it's obviously the help that you get at home. And because everybody here, this is like a home away from home. So the people that you make here are kind of like your family. So they all want to help you out. They all want to try and, build your career or build your life in a way or another. So
you've come across some very nice people. I don't know if they're all like that, to build your career, but it can definitely be a tough town.
My best friend, who's also my children's godmother, is also my partner at work. So.
Ah, okay. Your best friend. Is your partner at work? So, yeah. What's big on children?
We're everything about children. That's basically what our aim is. We started the vision of trying to become the one-stop shop for anything that you need for a child. It is. I mean, it's a very small shop right now, but we've really gone big. So, we started with a small retail space in Dubai Mall, offering personalized products. By personalized, I don't mean writing your name on a blankie or putting your name on a cup. It's actually getting your name inserted into music. So the child hears his name over 80 times in an album. And then we put that name in an alarm clock. So you wake up in the morning and it says, wake up, Shane, it's time to get out of bed.
That's kind of freaky. Wasn't it?
Kids love it.
Yeah.
We get tons of parents, specifically moms, who come in and say, please get me a Spider-Man clock for my husband because he just won't get out of bed.
Oh, does it actually get you up more if someone's saying your name? Or?
Well, it prompts
really?
You
yeah.
because you and you...
So that's what the personalized thing is. And so was this your own idea, or this was a copy-paste business model from the West?
We actually bought the distribution rights from the company based in California. We
okay.
bought. That's how we started. We took the idea. We saw that there was a gap in the market for these kind of products, so we took the rights for the 15 countries.
How did you come across it?
It was actually on our way back on our honeymoon. We stopped off at walking around one of the malls in the U.S. and we heard somebody singing someone's name, and then we saw a bunch of kids laughing and clapping, and just I had to stop and see what was that about. And I saw it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. We bought some things for my nieces and my nephews. Coming back and seeing their reaction, I'm like, wow, this is something we should definitely look into.
And that was it. And so tell us a little bit of the lead up until you took the plunge to being a mompreneur. What were you doing? What were some of the, tell us a little bit about your career history.
I actually studied hospitality. So I was working at two major hotel chains before I left the entire hospitality industry and started, more towards the entrepreneur side. I loved the idea of service and excellent service. And I know that we lack this in the Middle East. And that's one of the things that I learned most about hospitality. So after working with them, I left the hospitality business. I worked as a marketing manager for a few other brands. And then I got a an opportunity that was almost like a, you know, an amazing opportunity for someone at my age. I was asked to be the owner's rep for a hotel here in Dubai. So now I went back to the hospitality business, except I wasn't part of the line staff or the managerial staff. I was actually from the top. So every time I walk into this hotel, I'm like, oh my God, this is my baby. We did the furnishing, we hired.
You get free food in the hospitality business too, don't you? Or?
It depends what level of manager.
You're at the top, manager. Right? So
yeah.
It's like free. It's awesome. So
but you don't want that food.
So then how do you transition? What do you mean you don't want that food?
The free food that you get.
You know something?
The free food that you get in the hotel, trust me, you want to pay for your food at the hotel. You
really?
Don't want to get the free stuff.
Is there something you know about the food that, there that we don't
Talking
know?
Talking about the staff canteen.
Is it bad? Okay. I don't know. So then how do you transition from that role? Like, what happens next?
So basically, I was part of the... Being an owner's rep was really part of the real estate boom that was going on in Dubai. Because we took this, you know, the company took this hotel. We built it. We furnished it. We were running it. And then, obviously, the crash in 2008 happened. Obviously, everybody knows a lot of people were laid off.
The hatchet man was let loose.
Yeah. I had to make a choice whether I wanted to stay or leave. The option of staying wasn't really appealing to me, so I left.
Because it was stay with a pay cut or...
Yes,
was it
basically.
No more free food in the canteen.
No more free food at the canteen.
And you're like, I'm out.
Yeah. And then obviously, during that time... It is really hard for somebody who is newly married to go and find a job. A, it was impossible to find a job that you liked. And then B, there's always that, you know, question in HR where they're like, oh, so you're newly married. When are you going to start your own family?
Yeah, kind of exactly. Thing. And then you have to pay for someone who's not in the office.
Exactly.
That's the maternity leave.
And it's yeah. It's so short.
So
I mean,
you become
really,
a liability to the company. It
is a liability, and it's also, I mean, now that I run my own business, I kind of understand why.
That's where I was going with this.
It's about, you know,
would you make the same decision now? You had two candidates, and one's like, I just got married, and, you know, and the other one's like, you know, let's say not married, and or say they already had kids and their kids were 20. Which one are you going to take?
I'd rather somebody who's fresh and somebody who's going to be looking and helping us out to recruit and get more products.
But she won't be there. She's going to be gone for 4 or 5 months.
For 4 or 5 months, she's going to be doing the research that I don't have time to do.
So you'd go for it?
I would definitely go for it.
What if she said in the interview, I'm pregnant right now?
I would love her even more because she's actually looking for the products that we can't find.
Really?
Because that's basically how Big On Children started. We wanted to source products that are not available here in the Middle East.
Okay.
So a pregnant mom would be the perfect fit for me because she's actually
of applications.
I'm ready. We are expanding, so we are looking for team members to
join us. Just one of the few employers who wants to hire pregnant women. So you're going to really have your grip on that market. So that's great, though.
Bring it on. Excellent.
Yeah. So there's no excuse now for anyone who can't find a job.
Well, I hope how we look at, you know, employment, actually other companies look at it the same way because it was really difficult for me to find a job at that time. And I was always put in that corner where, you know, you're going to have kids. How do you know when you're going to have kids? You can sit and plan there forever and you might never get any. Or you can say, I don't want anything. I don't want any family members right now. And then suddenly you wake up one day and, oops, I'm pregnant. How can you sit there and...
I think something more happened than you just woke up. But, you know.
Can't really discuss that on the radio, can we?
But, okay, fine. So you can't really plan it. I see your point.
Yeah.
So when you took the jump into starting, you know, your business, how did, you know, most people are always wondering about the financing piece or how do you... You know, as they say, no finance, no romance. How did you put that together?
I'm going to be very honest with you here. My husband is an entrepreneur. He knows how to fund and you know, get projects well on their way. So
did he invest? Did he give you the cash?
He invested. I had some money put aside from my previous work. And we have investors in as well. So.
And how much, you know, around do you think to start a business, would you say? How much money?
What we did was actually a bit extreme. But what we offer right now is big on children. If somebody wants to start their own business, you can start as low as $3,000.
What?
Yeah.
$3,000?
Yes. Because basically what we have a selection
American dollars.
Yeah. Because what we've done is we have a selection of 6 different exclusive brands to big on children right now. So we've put together packages that are affordable for stay-at-home moms, fresh graduates, or somebody who just wants to try out the entrepreneur world but is so worried in investing, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of their money. So we've made it possible for people to actually try it out and see what it takes.
This is the story of Samer Nabulsi, the managing director and partner for Big on Children, a mompreneur and also an advocate of mompreneurs everywhere. We're going to find out exactly what you get for $3,000 to start your stay-at-home business, which you can even do if you're pregnant. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Eye on Careers.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what it takes to be a mompreneur this episode with Samer Nabulsi, Managing Director and Partner for Big on Children. Samer, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
Just before the break, when we were talking about financing your own business, and I think you mentioned you got a bit of help from your entrepreneurial whiz of a husband who helped you set up the financing for
Big on Children. I hope he's not listening.
But you've also created a vehicle for stay-at-home moms where if they have slightly more than $3,000, I think, of capital to invest, yeah, that they can start their own business as well.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So what we've done is we have 6 exclusive brands under Big on Children. And by exclusive, I mean we are the only ones allowed to sell these products in this region, in the Middle East region and the GCC. So we've put together a basket of products that are worth about, I think it's a slightly more than 3,000, because I can hear my partner in my head right now saying it's not 3,000, slightly a bit more. I think it's about 3,499 dirham.
Okay. That's Dubai dollars. Inflation goes up.
I'm sorry for the incorrect information. So basically, it
might be 4,000 by the end of the episode.
No, it's not. I guarantee you, I checked. So basically, you get a basket of products between, you know, the personalized songs that we talked about earlier. So we have the collection of CDs, the alarm clocks. We also have plush toys that can be personalized. We also have the personalized DVDs where you can take the child's picture. Through our software, it will be cut and put in the movie. So the child is the hero or the princess for about 22 minutes. So the child sees himself as, you know,
it's
the
really
hero
cool.
Or Little Mermaid or whatever titles that we have available in over 10 different languages. I know. We get tons of... We have Amazing Dad that sells really well for Dad's... Dad's Day. Father's Day. Yes, and then we have other products such as... And this is one of our newest products that we recently got into Big on Children is called My Body Tag, which is basically a Bluetooth device that you put around your child and it connects to your smartphone. If you're in a park and the child happens to go out of reach, it will signal an alarm and tell you that your child is out of reach. If it drops in water, it will alarm you that the child is out of reach as well, which is a great safety device for a lot of people who live in the Middle East who have swimming pools in their backyard. There's also a panic button on that device. So if the child's stuck in the toilet or for some reason they got lost and they can't find you, they can press a signal, an alarm on your phone saying the child's trying to get a hold of you. These can also be personalized on your phone. You can have up to 6 devices on one phone. So you can get a selection of that as part of the $3,499 package. We also have the Labelits, which is basically a brand. Also, it was actually, the idea came from a mom who has 8 kids. So there are silicone labels that go around any baby bottle or a sippy cup or even regular bottles. Using a regular ballpoint pen, you can write the child's name and then you can write any allergies or intolerances that child may have. So that's a great way to communicate to day caregivers or, you know, in school, teachers and whatever, so that they know that the child is allergic to a specific type of food. Obviously, that helped the mom with 8 kids save on milk and water, because with 8 kids at home, she was throwing out tons of water, tons of milk and juices, because she just doesn't know which cup belongs to which child. So that's that was one of the things.
The challenges of 8 kids. Yeah, I wouldn't want to find out about that.
I have
that.
2, and I'm getting gray hair, and I've aged with these 2. So,
what kind of margins do you get on these products? I mean, if someone were to take you up on your $3,400 offer, you know, is it? Will they be driving a Rolls Royce by the end of the year, or what's the margin like?
You can dream big, but with something this small, we make sure that that our customers would at least make 100% margin on these products. Some products you can make slightly more, but when you look at the whole basket of products, the idea is you make double what you've invested.
100% margin doesn't make sense though, right? If something's $5, then it's $5 profit, so it costs zero to make the product.
No, but that's not how you said it.
So you just double, they sell for whatever they buy the product for, they sell it for double.
Exactly. And that's pretty much.
But you could say, for example, I signed up, you could buy it from me, but they could also go to your store and buy the same thing. So
absolutely.
Where's the upside?
Idea is that because we right now we have exclusive rights for the entire Middle East and GCC region. So we have about 15 individual distributors that are spread out in the region, and we're actually looking for more now that we're looking to take this brand global. There are a lot of areas, if you want to look at Dubai, for instance, or the United Arab Emirates, somebody can buy it and sell it in Sharjah because we don't have presence in Sharjah. Mm-hmm. You can buy it for Ajman. You can buy it for Al Ain. So there are certain areas that we're not there. So they will actually help us in a way to spread our arms and legs in the country.
Like something to go into Oman or...
Of course. We have distributors in Lebanon, in Qatar. And we have in Abu Dhabi, we have in Ras Al Khaimah already. And we also have distributors across the region as well.
So what's been the biggest challenge as you made the shift into, you know, being, you know, from being an employee to employer?
I'll tell you one thing, Shane. I'm not allowed to do HR. That's one of the things that
Why?
I just don't
Did
mind.
Did you like flip out on someone and fire
Not at
them?
All. Not at all. I'm like the Did nicest like person. I give like tons of whatever
it's
you
really
call
boring.
It, you know, choices. And, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to work today? You can't. Oh, you're not feeling well. It's okay. Go home. Yeah, I'm not allowed to do HR in the company anymore.
Right.
But it opened my eyes. Being an employee before, I learned so much from my bosses, my employers. And I said, okay, I never want to be that. Or I want to be exactly like that.
But what was your biggest challenge? Like, what was the day where you just wanted to kill yourself?
I think that's a bit extreme. But no, there were days
it
when
is
I was
extreme, though, right? You're running your own business.
You know, there were one wrong move, and you're finished.
You're out of business. It's extreme lifestyle. The life of the mompreneur.
Of course. Well, I chose the retail business, which is not a solid, you know, every day coming in kind of selling. There are days when we'd be sitting in the shop and we're like, oh my God, not a single person walked into our shop today. But then there are plenty of other days that make up for those days. So that's, in the beginning, I didn't quite understand that because I had no retail business knowledge whatsoever. But once we opened our shop in Dubai Mall and we understood the footfall and the tourism and when certain people come in and when they go, we started understanding the model. So we started understanding, okay, so December, January are crazy months. February is a little slow. And that also helps you with staffing. When do you give people their breaks? When do you give people their holidays? It all comes into play. But at some point, I would sit in bed. I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? And then the next day, we sit together and, you know, we put a strategy and say, okay, what is it that we can do? How can we push the products and sales and distribution and all of that? And then
was there ever a moment where you said, look, I'm going to go bankrupt, I don't think I'm going to pull through this?
In the beginning, before we started the distribution models, yes.
There was a time
when we said, oh my God, I don't, how are we going to sustain this business?
Obviously, and there's no free food in the canteen.
No free food and no free products because you know, rent in Dubai is, we all know, it's
high. And you're
high.
In the Dubai Mall.
We're in Dubai Mall, expensive. Which is also expensive and high. But again, being in Dubai Mall, which is what helps, it was right before, actually, we got this great opportunity to open an FAO Schwartz in New York. When we said, oh my God, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe we need to reconsider. What are we doing with this business? And then suddenly out of the blue, you know, we got a great opportunity. We started off with a 1x1 meter kiosk at FAO, Schwartz in New York, which is the one of the top 10 most visited
malls.
It's toy store. It's the most, yeah, in America, in New York specifically.
So and it's then a year, profitable.
I mean, it started becoming profitable once we understood the dynamics. Again, it's very important that you understand.
What were the dynamics to understand?
In FAO, we were store in store. So basically, we started in Dubai Mall. We have our own standalone store. We opened inside FAO Schwartz as a 1x1 meter kiosk. So there are different rules and regulations. You don't open and close whenever you want because you have to adhere to the policies and procedures of FAO Schwartz. Just if people who don't are not familiar with FAO, they're actually... FAO was bought out by Toys R Us in the US a few years ago. Mm. So and just to make it even more fun, FAO Schwartz was actually part of the majority part of the movie Big, where... Tom Hanks was stuck inside that toy store on the big piano. That's exactly what FAO Schwartz is.
Okay.
So it's huge. It's not easy for somebody to, you know, people literally give their arms and legs to have a small space
in
there.
What was the dynamic? You said you had to switch something, like wasn't working or like understanding. What were the big changes you needed to make in your approach to start making money?
New York tourists are completely different than Dubai tourists. That's number one. What was doing very well, our number one product here that was selling very well wasn't actually selling there. So we had to switch around and look at all the other products that we do have and what people
like
really
what
enjoy.
What was not selling? What was it that's not selling? That sells here that doesn't sell there?
DVDs. The personalized DVDs we sell. I mean, people go crazy on these DVDs here. In the US, not really. They love plush. Plush is also another word for stuffed animals or soft animals. So that was, you know, that's when we said, okay, we're doing much better in these products, so we need to bring a bigger selection of these products, and that's what we did.
Interesting. This is Samer Nabulsi, a mompreneur, managing director, and partner Big on Children, talking about finding your revenue stream on Eye and Queers. We're going to be right back as we talk to her about business strategies and tactics and how she's growing a global business.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And to this episode, we're looking at mompreneurs. And so to help us with that is Samer Nabulsi, Managing Director and Partner for Big on Children. Samer, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Great to be here, Shane.
So, you know, you've really taken a big challenge on. Most people are snowed in enough being a mom of one, a mom of two, and sometimes in the region that number can go upwards of eight, I believe. I don't know. I don't want to touch how high that number can go, but it's one of the highest in the world actually here. So I guess it must be one of the best regions actually to have a kid store. I think they have the highest kid per capita of any geography.
That's very true. Yeah, we have it's almost about 48% are under the age of 18.
Wow.
In this region.
So, you know, as a mompreneur, you're obviously, you know, you're dedicated to your business. You're dedicated to your kids. I think I had Fadi Gandour on here, who's the founder of Aramex, who's, you know, often regarded as one of the leading entrepreneurs of the region. He said, you know, running your own business is completely consuming. It will consume you, especially if you're passionate or driven as an entrepreneur. That fire can all be creative as much as consuming. But is there a challenge there juggling the life, the home life of the mom, and then juggling the preneur side of the entrepreneur?
It was when we started the business, I had a 1.5-year-old and a 6-month at home. And there were times when I would literally cry in the shop. And my partner has videos of me crying, if you're interested to know.
What are friends for?
Because I would miss my kids terribly. And I was missing, you know, that 6 months when they start babbling and they start crawling. I was missing a lot of that. And at the same time, when I would decide not to go into the shop that day and stay at home, I'd still cry in the bathroom because I don't know what's going on in the shop. So there's always that constant struggle, the constant battle. But then one day I had to sit down and say, okay, in general, I'm a very positive person. So with every... This is not a negative situation. It's just it's a situation where you feel you're torn between two, actually three, because I also I am married and my husband does live at home and, you know, we are trying to build a family together. So I needed to sit down and say, okay, what is it that I want? And obviously, my children will always come first. Whenever there's a play or they have an activity or something at school, I'm always there. I don't care what meetings I needed to miss, what I'm missing in the shop. They were always my top priority. But then, obviously, like we said in the beginning of the show, we get help. And with help, I mean, they have tons of cousins who live here in Dubai. So I make sure that they see their cousins as well while I'm off in a meeting or working or in a strategy meeting or, you know, trying to get finances and funding for the project. I had to sit down and say, okay, I need to be fair. I'm running here and I'm also running New York. So with 9-hour difference or 8-hour difference most of the year, I don't go to bed before 3 a.m.
And what time do you get up?
With the kids at 7:30.
Wow. So you don't sleep much?
No.
You get a nap in? Somewhere.
If I'm lucky, sometimes when I'm sitting in the car waiting for my daughter to come out, I'll probably, you know, take
pass
a quick
out.
Nap
you
behind
stop
the
moving,
wheel.
You pass out.
Yeah, probably.
But is that the kind of commitment? You know, a lot of people think, I'm going to start my own business and I won't have to work as hard or I'll be, get to take time off.
I wish. You know, if somebody actually told me the truth from the beginning about how really... I don't want to say struggle because struggle is such a negative word. It's challenging and it's...
It's brutalizing.
You have to really sit down and really assess what is it that you want. And honestly, look at Dubai. What was it several years ago? And look at it where it is today. I mean, look at the leader and what he's done. He inspires every single person. It's impossible for somebody not to be inspired by this wonderful man. And, you know, I look at it and say, okay, if I can inspire whatever... for as many people that I can, I want to do that. And if I'm going to sit there and I'm just going to say, oh my God, it's so hard. I don't know how to do this. I'm going to sit at home and cry. I'm not going to get anywhere. But if I actually, you know, take charge and say, okay, I've missed my daughter crawling today. I'll make sure that I don't miss it when she walks. And you just, you know, you sit there and you say, okay, I just need to balance things out.
So I think as part of it, you know, finding a sense of purpose in the business itself. I mean, when you look at this, new distribution model where you're basically empowering and emancipating, you know, women who can work from home in the Middle East. And I can imagine in Saudi Arabia that would be a huge, you know, to allow women to have access to their own funds.
Yeah.
Would have a huge impact. You know, is that something, you know, that, you know, as they say, you've kind of found your why?
I think it's very important for anybody to try to do something. I just think it's, don't sit there and waste your time. There is something that you can do, whether you're a woman or a man at home or a fresh graduate, whatever. Even if you work in a bank and then you finish work at 3 o'clock and you have nothing to do, why not even try and you know, do something with that time?
I know the bankers should do something, you know.
No, I'm talking about the reg. I'm not saying.
I thought we were just going to start banking. Banker bashing.
No,
it's okay.
You're allowed to banker bash.
It's good.
I don't bash anyone.
You can go after the bankers, or you know.
I would have loved some support from some banks for us.
You're just like trying to get financing right now, so you're not bashing. That's what it is. So, one of the things is, you know, you come from hospitality. Now you're in hardcore business. You know, it's really you find your margins or you die. So, is there a big learning curve? What's been some of the big learnings? What's really your strategies? Was there a challenge initially finding, you know, where your revenues were, what your product mix should be, what the distribution model should be?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, what we identified is getting products to the Middle East is not as easy as we thought it would be. Sourcing them, getting them in, the costs between shipping and everything that comes with it, with warehousing and all of that. So what we did is we sat together 7 months ago and we said, okay, what is it that we can do that we can take this company from good to great? And that's when the whole global expansion, us buying out the mother company in California took place.
You bought out the mother company?
Yeah, it was just concluded just a few days
Where
ago.
Where did you get the money for that?
We actually, I was telling you, this year was actually a very good year for us. We've put aside some money from what we've made because we wanted to pump it back into the company. Obviously, we were looking at investors. We met several of them and we finally found someone who believed in our concept. And he actually helped us through because he loved the idea of the global expansion.
So you had an investor.
We had an investor come in, yes.
So and you sold the percentage.
It's tedious.
How do you pick how much equity to sell him?
That's a tedious part, because that's when you actually sit down and say, okay, we've been operating for 2 years. This has been our sweat and blood and tears. And, you know, somebody's going to come in, hand you money because they believe in your concept, but how much of the equity are you going to give away? So we did a very simple formula. The money that we've put in, what we've made, and what money do we want more in order to, like I said, push this company from good to great. And that's the percentage that we ended up giving.
Do you give minority or majority?
Obviously, you want to keep as much as you can from the company. So what we did, now we kept the majority.
That's very exciting. So
yes.
you really are in an exciting role now. So you're a global business person, from an unemployed hospitality mom to a global business executive. Is that a steep? What do you have any kind of North Stars now, or kind of key business philosophies that drive you and kind of keep you on the right path as you move forward?
Buying out one of the brands that we just did right now, I think for us is a great turning point, because now we're in control of the costs. So we don't pay the middleman anymore, if that makes any sense to you. So now we're hopefully trying to see how we can bring these products in cheaper so that we can really push the distribution model, because we understand and we know everybody loves our products, really. It's very rare for somebody to walk in and not walk out with a product. Mm-hmm. There's something about, you know, the smiles that you see on the child's face. It's impossible for a parent to say no. And we want to make sure that our products are available around every corner in the Middle East. And now that we're going global, we want to make sure that it's available in other countries as well.
Sure. So have you won any awards or?
Yes, actually, just back in November, we won the SME, the Arabian Business Startup SME of the Year.
Wow.
And that was a great, great push for our business.
Did it?
Because that really solidified, of course, because that's basically, it's all the hard work finally paying off. I mean, you sit down and you see, oh my God, okay, finally we're making profit and we're making, you know, making decent amounts we're putting aside. But nobody really comes and pats you on the back and say, oh wow, good job. It's this award that really brings everything down into perspective and say all this, you know, long hours. Like I said before, there were tons of tears, tons of arguments, tons of fights between us partners and even my husband. So
this is Samra Nabulsi, Managing Director and Partner of Big on Children, a mompreneur, talks about how it's affected her and her husband as she becomes a global executive in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what it takes to be a mompreneur with Samra Nabulsi, Managing Director and Partner on Big on Children. Samra, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
So one of the, you know, people I think now are interested to know, where can we find your store, or how can we get in your products? Maybe you can give us a quick idea of where we can find you.
Sure. We have one flagship store in Dubai Mall. It's on the second floor between Kidzania and Sega Republic. We also have a store-in-store similar to what we did at FAO Schwartz inside Hamleys in Dubai Mall as well. It's also on the second floor of Dubai Mall.
Okay. And is there a website or?
Yes. It'll be bigonchildren.com for anybody who's interested to find out more about those affordable packages. They can email us at distributor@bigonchildren.com.
One of the interesting things is, you know, your husband is also an entrepreneur. So on one theory, people can say, you know, you have these two alpha personalities, both are entrepreneurs, you know, working together. Does that create synergies? Does that create drive? Or, you know, is it maybe too much for one roof? You know, does it get too hot to handle where you have two people, both under massive stress, under massive pressure? You know, they're coming home and, you know, nobody can really diffuse the other because both people are like walking grenades. is that tough, or which theory really works?
If I just want to look back at how we started, when I got married, Ramzi was an entrepreneur. I wasn't. I was working in a company. I just didn't understand why he would work so hard. And, you know, all the times, there are times over the weekend when we're all going out for dinner, and he'd be like, no, I have a conference call, I have this, I have that, and be like, why can't you just work like a normal person who goes to work 9 to 6 and go home? I didn't understand that, and that actually spurred a lot of arguments between us. It wasn't until I started being on children and I saw the amount of hours I'm putting in, and now he sometimes looks at me and says, okay, do you want to take a break? You want to go have dinner? And I'd be like, no, not now. I need another hour or something. Now I actually understand where he's coming from. And, you know, this thing where people say, oh, I just want to be an entrepreneur. I can work my own hours. Well, no, it's not like that, really. In reality, you're switched on. You're tuned in 24/7, no weekends, no holidays. I'm not trying to demoralize you, but it's important that if you want to become an entrepreneur, that you have that in mind. It is very difficult in the beginning, and you need to really, really work hard for it.
So when you're hiring people, do you look for that same, I'm willing to work 7 days a week, be as committed, you know, if that's what it takes?
To be very honest, no. I don't want somebody to be burnt out, especially if I'm hiring someone in my office or for the company, I want to make sure that I can depend on them when I'm busy doing other stuff. So I need them to be empowered and I need them to be energized. I'll give you an example. We recently moved from a 1x1 meter kiosk at FAO Schwartz to a 7 meter wall just 4 months ago. And we hired a new person and he was so excited. He was working 7 days a week. And I would call him and I would say, Dane, please take a day off. It doesn't work that way. You're going to be burnt out. You're going to be demotivated very quickly. He didn't listen to me. 4 months later, he called me and says, I can't do this anymore. I'm quitting. And I said, this is what I was trying to explain to you. It's not about the quantity of time that you spend in the business. It's about the quality of time that you spend. He was a great demonstrator. He was selling products right, left and center, but he wanted to be there all the time. And it doesn't work that way. You have to switch off. As a person who's coming to work in a company, I cannot expect them to work my hours, but I expect them to give me, for them to give me their best, to give me their absolute honest best.
And what do you look for besides that? Are there any key traits that you look for when you're hiring?
I like to hire somebody with the entrepreneurial spirit, only because they understand that there are times when I send emails at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, so they don't think I'm too crazy. But I also like somebody who has worked in the corporate world so that they can actually bring something to the table. So it has to be a two-way street. As a company, we learn from them and they actually bring something that will help us improve and enhance and grow. And that person needs to go home saying, oh, I've learned a lot from this company.
How is technology changing your business, or is it affecting your business?
I'm glad you brought this up. We're actually, for those who know our products already, the majority of our products are on CDs and DVDs. So the album that sings the child's name over 80 times in 10 different languages are in a regular CD that you need to pop into your laptop, your desktop, or I don't even know, boom boxes. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
No, there's no more boom boxes.
I thought
just
so.
Dated yourself.
So now what we're looking at doing is we know that technology is evolving, and we're looking at actually having it all done on a USB stick for you. So you can go home, stick it in a car, you know, just put it in your laptop, download it, put it on your iPod and stuff like that. You can already download the songs from a CD to an iPod, but with a new generation of laptops, majority of them don't even come with a CD drive, which is why it's important that we are looking at the USB.
Becoming obsolete now.
I don't think so, at least not yet. You have to understand that because we've gone global, you still have people in Europe and America who drive really old cars who have CDs as well. So,
what are you saying? People in Dubai don't drive old cars?
No, I think you will find them. But Dubai is the most evolved and technological city in the world. We are becoming a smart city.
Really?
So
I didn't know that.
I wouldn't.
I just know that Rajaram at Ananda Buddha sells more Porsches per capita than anybody on the planet, than any dealership on the planet, and more Audis than, you know, and I think, I think we like our cars out here in Dubai. which everybody knows. That's no secret. Yeah. What are the key traits of an entrepreneur if there's someone out there who wants to take the dive into the torturous road that you've taken? What do you think the traits are?
I think the number one trait is be positive, because you are going to come to a lot of dead-end roads. You're going to reach a time in your life when you say, what am I doing? So if you have that positive sense in you, you will understand that you need to power through. You learn from your mistakes. You face any obstacle and you move on. That, I think, is the most important trait in an entrepreneur. And if you look, the most successful ones out there are extremely positive people.
But and your mind is naturally negative, though. Like, if you leave your mind to its own device, it naturally drifts to the negative. Because that's the purpose of your mind, right? Is to control you. You know, if you're walking back in the day when you were a caveman or a cavewoman, and you were like, I'm going to go jump in the river, then your mind's like, don't do that. You're going to get eaten. You're going to get bitten. There's an alligator there. Go back to the cave. Take a nap. It's like, you know, all those negative thoughts, that paranoia, that kept you alive, right? And, you know, I think there's even a book, Only the Paranoid Survive, right?
No, that's all your subconscious. I truly believe that. I believe that you can, with your positive outset and the way you think, you can achieve anything that you want.
Like The Secret, you can attract it. Like, everything's good and I'm going to make 10 million in sales and, you know, I'm going to have 10 new distributors. So you just focus and you resonate on it.
When you focus on what you want and really the world will change. The world will make a way to make it happen. But you need to want it that much. And you need to believe in it. You need to envision it. And
Do you use a vision board? Do you have a vision board up on your house?
No, I do something different. I do something called Theta Healing. So
who? Theta Healing?
Theta. It's called Theta. Yep. So
Sounds Greek. We
use it to envision our success and how we want to do it. And we actually...
Who's we? You and your husband together?
No.
Theta.
Me and my therapist.
Theta.
My Theta therapist.
Your Theta
who's
therapist?
Who's actually a very good friend.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's not our topic, but for those who feel that they've become too negative in their life, I really advise them to look up Theta.
Oh, so there was a point where you felt really negative?
There was, yes. Yes, there was a point in my life when I was...
When was that?
Life is not always nice and dandy. There are times
there's people out there. It could be someone right now listening to this who wants to commit suicide, you know, who's so negative that no matter what it is, and, you know, your journey from going from that dark spot where, you know, you were so negative, you've turned it around where you're now like this massive positive vibe. How did you do that? What happened? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. A couple of years ago, it was my first pregnancy and I had to terminate it because it was called an ectopic pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that went from not me just losing a baby, but also losing a fallopian tube, which now means that...
Sorry.
It's okay. It's all in the past. It's good that it happened because now I have two beautiful girls. And I think that's it. That was my turning point where my doctor said there's a 50% chance I could become pregnant. And then... You know, literally 7 months later, I was pregnant the first time. And then soon after, I had the second one. There's a year gap between the both of them. Mm. And that's when I realized I wanted to be a mom so bad. Mm. I focused on how I would... I started with myself, and then I started at home. I needed to make sure that if and when my child comes into life, I need to make sure that I provide them with the best of the best. So I was researching, and I was looking at different things at schools, at what I would do with my children, where I would take them, and...
So, in fact, your darkest moment, your curse, is where the seeds of your success were actually planted. It was, you know, that fueled your passion for motherhood, that drove you to this kind of extreme level where now you're contributing to the motherhood of other people.
Which is why it's very important that, for me as well, that just because you're, you know, you're down or you think that I can't do this anymore, just... sit with yourself just on your own and ask yourself, what is it that you want to do with your life? Where do you want to go from here?
And sometimes God's greatest gifts come in the form of a curse. So sometimes you feel like this is the worst thing that happened to you. In your case, in fact, it turned out to be one of the best things.
Yes. Well, but part of the Theta process is that they keep digging into your subconscious and they always ask you, what's the worst thing that could happen? And then you just start talking and you really look at things. What is the worst thing that could happen? So what? Okay, so you know this is the worst. you already know it in your mind. It's your subconscious knows it. You just have to link it to your conscious mind and make sure that it doesn't happen. You flip it around.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Ion Careers. It was a pleasure having you.
Same here. Thank you for having me as well.
And for anyone out there, I think you've heard it from the horse's mouth. If you're going through a tough time, if life has knocked you down, or if you feel like you're going through a really dark moment, you heard it from Samar Nabulsi herself, that that could be the turning point in your life, that success is just around the corner. So don't give up. Keep pushing on. And at the end of the day, you could become a mompreneur. And that was an amazing story from Samar Nabulsi, Managing Director and Partner for Big on Children. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, hoping the rest of your life is the best of your life.